I pledge allegiance to the fans of the Sin Bin Podcast and to the league for which it stands. One team under you, undefeatable, with insight and help for all. Let's go. Welcome to the Sin Bin Podcast. I'm your host, the Pod Staff. This is a fantasy hockey podcast. It's my first ever one, so bear with me. I hope to bring you guys weekly insight on that week's fantasy hockey. Bring you a score, who's hot, who's not, all the past stats of the games that have been played since my last one. I hope to provide a kind of a cheat sheet for you guys this year, break down games for you on how everyone's doing. And I hope to make this, if I get enough listeners, I hope to make this, something that I can do maybe once, twice a week. Well, first off, I guess I should give you some of my info, some housekeeping to say, I guess. You can follow me at the Pod Staff on Twitter, or you can email me thepodstaff@gmail.com. Email any questions you have. Follow me on Twitter. Any tweets, I give out information, insight on Twitter on what's happening that night. Email any questions you have. I hope to get an email bag going so I can give you some specific insight on your league. How I feel like if you have a trade you got a trade offered to you and you want some advice on that trade, who to pick up, who to not, who to drop for that guy kind of deal, I'll give you as much advice as I possibly can. I really enjoy fantasy hockey and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. So I guess we should start off with this past weekend's games, opening day. What a great day it was. Let's go. So we're going to start off with Saturday's early games. The first one I'm going to start with is the Chicago Blackhawks and the LA Kings. They were one of the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. Chicago beat LA 5-2. Your starting goalies were Jonathan Quick for the Kings and Corey Crawford for the Blackhawks. Quick didn't have as good a game as most predicted, but he'll bounce back. He saw 22 shots, saved 17 of them, let in 5, not that good, a 7.73 save percentage from the game. Not anything that I would rest my hat on. He'll have a bounce back game, so bad start, but whatever. They had a little bit of a Stanley Cup hangover on this one, but that shouldn't be anything to worry about. For your Kings, your usual suspects. Jeff Carter didn't do that well, saw 17 minutes ice time, was a -1, 2 shots on goal. Dustin Brown led the Kings with 20 minutes ice time, was a led the forwards with 20 minutes of ice time, was a -3. Drew Doughty didn't do much, he saw 25 minutes ice time, was a 0 in the plus minus, had a shot on goal, 2 penalty minutes. Simone Gagné, 16 minutes ice time, -3, did nothing else across the board. Mike Richards was a -3 with 18 minutes ice time. 10 face-off wins, which were huge for him. I guess I should go back up. Carter also had 10 face-off wins. Justin Williams didn't do much either. He had he was a minus one in 15 minutes ice time. Two shots on goal. Didn't do anything else across the board. Nothing really to take away from the Kings from this game other than they just had a bad game. Expect for a bounce back later. Expect for them to bounce back heading forward in the season. Now for your Chicago Blackhawks. Corey Crawford won the game, got a big W. He stopped 19 of his 21 shots faced, had a 905 save percentage. Your big hitter from this game would have been Marian Hossa. He scored two goals, had an assist in 17 minutes ice time, was a plus two with four shots on goal, two penalty minutes. Then you got Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane also had a great debut this season. He's had a goal, one assist, 17 minutes ice time, two shots on goal, and like Kane normally does, didn't put up much for penalty minutes. Davey Bolin didn't really do much this game. Was a minus one, two shots on goal, six faceoff wins. Duncan Keith on the back end saw 22 minutes ice time. Was a plus one, two shots on goal, two penalty minutes. Not a bad stat line from him for a defense. Didn't do much, but still got you a nice little plus. Jonathan Toews had a big night, goal and an assist. He was a plus three in 18 minutes ice time. Just under 19 minutes ice time. Had one shot on goal. Made it count. 16 face-off wins and no penalty minutes. The Blackhawks played a very disciplined game. They really stayed out of the box. Didn't let LA capitalize on much. Patrick Sharp didn't do much either. He had 18 minutes of ice time, was a minus one with three shots on goal and two penalty minutes. So what I took from this game was that your heavy hitters came through. Marian Hossa had one of the best opening days of across the league. So that's that for that game. Next up, we had Pittsburgh and Philly. Pittsburgh beat Philly 3-1. Scoring for Pittsburgh, or starting goalie for Pittsburgh, your starting goalies in this game were Marc-Andre Fleury and Ilya Bryskalov, your typical starters for these two. I expect Fleury to split a lot of time with Thomas Vokoun this season. With the shortened season and the heavy workload he's going to be obtaining, Marc-Andre Fleury isn't really one to handle a heavy workload. So expect going forward, for especially if they play, say, three games in 4 days, at least Vokoun to get one of those starts. So if you have Marc-Andre Fleury, I'd pick up Thomas Vokoun as a handcuff. It would be a smart play. And if someone else has him in your league, offer one of your other weaker goalies for him. Because, especially in a head-to-head league, because a lot across the league with the short season, it's going to be a lot of split time in a two-goalie system. So, Marc-Andre Fleury stopped 26 of his 27 shots that he saw at a 9.63 save percentage. A very good night for Marc-Andre Fleury. Picked up the W. Sidney Crosby saw 19 minutes ice. Was a minus one with three shots on goal, 13 face-off wins. Not your typical Crosby night, but he did chip in with some face-off wins in your deep head-to-head leagues with deep stat categories, which would help. His three shots on goal, that's not bad for him. He's usually a puck giver, but Chris Kunitz. Chris Kunitz playing on a line with Crosby. Chris Kunitz chipped in with a goal, 14 minutes ice time, was a negative one, with one shot on goal, made it count. No penalty minutes, no face-offs won, because he's not a centerman. But Evgeny Malkin had a good night. Malkin, one assist, plus one, two shots on goal, two penalty minutes, seven face-offs won. Not a bad little night for Malkin. Not your typical night for Malkin. Expect more going forward. James Neal scored a goal. James Neal scored a goal in this one. It was an even strength one, so no power play points. Kunitz's goal was a power play one, so anyone that had him is probably pretty happy because that's double categories. He added to both categories, especially in a head-to-head league. Other than that, on the Penguins, no one really, your typical Penguin, Pittsburgh Penguin people that you're going to see across the stat board really didn't do much. Chris Letang chipped in with a plus one and three shots on goal. Paul Martin had a goal and an assist, but I wouldn't really, well, he's playing with Letang, but I really wouldn't expect a whole lot from Martin going forward. You never know with these Penguins. Malkin and Crosby seem to make everyone around them better. So you could see some surprises come from this team this year. Paul Martin could, by the end of the year, be a valuable fantasy hockey player. But as of now, I'd still stick with your typical Pittsburgh guys. On the other side, Ilias Bryskalov got the loss. Stopped 24 of 26 of his shots faced. Had a .923 save percentage. One of the goals were an empty net goal that Pittsburgh scored, so that doesn't count against him, obviously. As for your Flyers stats, your big dogs in this game, well, Claude Giroux started right where he left off last season. Had a goal in 19:41 ice time, was a plus one, three shots on goal, two penalty minutes, and 13 faceoffs won. Had put up numbers across the board. Really helped. Well, Claude Giroux should have been a top five pick in most of your guys' leagues. Scotty Hartnell assisted on that goal. He was a plus one with five shots on goal. No pims from Hartnell, which is surprising. He usually puts up some a game. But going forward, those two are going to be big. Braden Schenn's playing on a line with those two. Also chipped in with an apple and a plus one. 13 minutes ice time. Claude Giroux was your most valuable Flyer in this game. And other than that, not a whole lot to talk about from the Flyers side of things. So let's move on to the third early game of the afternoon on Saturday, which was the Boston Bruins defeating the New York Rangers 3-1. Your two tendies in this are your two tendies you'll see all year long. They should handle heavy, heavy workloads. So we'll start off with Boston. Tuukka Rask picked up the W in this game. Stopped 20 of 21 shots at a .952 save percentage. Tuukka Rask, by the end of the season, what can I say? Like, he should be up for the Vezina, especially playing on this loaded Boston Bruins team. Tons of depth in front of him. Tons of depth. Should put up a ton of wins, and he's good enough. He can carry. When the team doesn't show up, he's good enough. He can carry the load himself. Heavy, heavy shot loads. So Tuukka Rask, definitely one you should be happy with going forward this year. As for the scoring, you got your goal scorers and Johnny Boychuk. He put up a goal. He was a plus two in 20 minutes ice time. Logged heavy minutes ice time. Three shots on goal. Saw some power play time. Not a bad guy to keep around. Not a bad guy to look at. Keep picking up for your back end, as these guys are really deep. Should put up scoring, a lot of scoring. Milan Lucic chipped in with one. He had a goal, was a plus one, three shots on goal, 12 penalty minutes, very valuable. Milan Lucic put up a big stat line. Actually got a 10-minute misconduct. Your typical Milan Lucic game, a goal, big penalty minutes. Definitely someone worth having on. You're definitely a big. You'll see deep value from him. In head-to-head leagues, especially head-to-head. Patrice, on his line, Nathan Horton didn't do much. Saw two shots on goal, that's about it. But what can you expect from a guy coming back that missed most of last season with a concussion? If he can stay healthy, he should put up numbers playing alongside Milan Lucic and Krejci. David Krejci had an apple on that goal. Was a plus one, three shots on goal, no penalty minutes, two face-offs, one. Not a bad stat line from him. He needs to win more faceoffs than he lost. He lost eight, so really, I don't think you guys should be doing percentages anyway. It's probably just overall faceoff wins if that's in your league. If that should be in a head-to-head league, if anything. If he is in your league, hope for him to get better in the draw. Or if faceoff wins are a stat in your league, then hope for him to get better in the draw for sure. Brad Marchand chipped in with a plus one. One shot on goal, no penalty minutes. Expect more penalty minutes and goals from Brad Marchand. He could, this year, if it was a typical 82-game season, I could see Brad Marchand putting up over putting up right around 30 goals. So prorate that the way you need to, with the only being 48. So in 48, let's just say he could score, say, right around the 15 mark, maybe. Expect that from Marchand. He's playing on a line with Tyler Seguin and Patrice Bergeron. Seguin didn't score in this game or put up anything on the point in the point column, but he did chip in with a plus two and two shots on goal. Pretty decent night from Seguin. Dennis Seidenberg saw 23 minutes of action, was a plus one with one shot on goal. Not a bad night from him. Your irrelevance that put up points would be Dan Piatti chipped in with a goal, was a plus one with two shots on net. Not a bad night from him, but don't expect that every night. Who else chipped in? Patrice Bergeron chipped in with an apple. He had five shots on goal, didn't have anything in the plus-minus rating. 12 face-off wins, which is huge. Probably their best face-off guy. That's a fantasy relevant. And other than that, not a whole lot to talk about on the Bruins side of things. Now we can move over to New York. New York made some big moves in the offseason, hoping that they could start the season off on the right foot. But Boston really put a damper on those plans. Playing a road game, playing up in Boston is kind of tough. So expect for them to bounce back as well. Don't hang your hat on the first game of the season. Who put up numbers in this game? Brad Richards, could be a number one center on a lot of teams in your fantasy leagues. He chipped in with a goal in 21 minutes ice time, three shots on goal, eight faceoff wins. Had an under 50% faceoff percentage, but expect that to go up as he's very good in the draw. Rick Nash, the big pickup in the offseason from Columbus, he put up an assist on Richards' goal, was a minus one in 21 minutes ice time, two shots on goal, two penalty minutes. He had two hits too, but I don't know if you guys take hits in your league. If so, email me in and I'll talk about hits a lot more too. Other than that, Marian Gaborik didn't do much. He was a minus one with two shots on goal. Delzato had three shots on goal after signing that restricted free agent contract earlier in the week. Mark Stahl was a minus three. Not your typical performance from Mark Stahl. Expect better numbers from him going forward, especially with how deep this team is. The Rangers are a team a lot of people pick in the Stanley Cup final. I don't. I think Pittsburgh or Boston's going to be coming out of the East, but a lot of people do pick the Rangers. So they are a team that should perform and expect better things going forward. Later in the day, we'll start off with some later games. We had, I screwed up there. The Senators and the Winnipeg Jets were one of the early games too, not the Rangers and Bruins. So in the Winnipeg, Ottawa won 4-1 over Winnipeg. Starting goalies in that were Andrei Pavlik for the Jets, who got the loss, and Craig Anderson, who had a great game. We'll start off with the higher score with the winning team in the Ottawa Senators. Craig Anderson, your starting goalie here, like I said, stopped 27 to 28 shots, had a .964 save percentage, and got the W. Craig Anderson should be very valuable. The Sens could be building on what they had last year, should be in the playoff hunt, should put up big numbers all year long. So moving on to the scoring for Ottawa, your top man would be Erik Karlsson. He chipped in with a goal and two assists, picking up from his Norris Trophy winning campaign from last year. So a goal, two assists, 25 minutes ice time, was a plus two, six shots on goal, not bad for a defenseman. No penalty minutes. Don't expect a lot from him, as he is an offensive defenseman, not really much an in-your-face type, but should put up huge. He should have been the first defenseman taken in your leagues, no doubt. He was the first defenseman taken in all my leagues, so expect big numbers going forward from Karlsson. Gonchar chipped in with an assist. Other than that, didn't do much. Didn't do anything across the board. Had three block shots. That was pretty big of him. A lot of really deep leagues, deep stat leagues, use block shots. I don't like it, per se, but a lot of people decide they want that. So if you do have block shots, Gonchar put up three. Could put up big numbers in that stat category. Then you got Milan Mihalik, chipped in with a goal in 15 minutes ice time. Was a plus one. Two shots on goal, two penalty minutes. Danny Alfredsson, no goals, no assists, but saw a nice chunk of ice time for the aging captain. Was plus one with one shot on goal, two penalty minutes, two face-offs, one. Don't expect him to get a lot of faceoffs as he is a winger. Then you got Chris Neal. Chris Neal had a great stat line. I don't think he's taken. Chris Neal probably wasn't taken in a lot of drafts, maybe in deep, deep head-to-head leagues. But he put up a goal, 10 minutes ice time, was a plus one, three shots on goal and two penalty minutes. A lot of people take him for his penalty minutes. And playing on this Sens team, he could put up a nice plus minus this year. So he's a guy to keep an eye on going forward in deep leagues. The rookie that's playing up on the top line, Jakob Silfverberg. I guess Jakob Silfverberg. Didn't put up anything in the points column, but had 14 minutes ice time. Was a plus one with three shots on goal. Won two faceoffs. Not bad for a winger. Jason Spezza had an assist, chipped in with an assist. 16 minutes ice time. Was a plus one. Won eight faceoffs. Had a really good night in the draw. Was under 50%. Expect him to be better because he is a pretty good faceoff guy. So next up, Kyle Turris had a goal, chipped in with a goal. Was a plus one. Had five shots on net. Not a bad night from Kyle Turris. He came over from Phoenix last year in a trade. He also had six faceoff wins. Not bad. His percentage wasn't that great. Didn't win a lot of draws. Didn't win a higher, like, was way under 50% of the draws. But going forward, he won 33% of the draws. Expect bigger things from Turris going forward. But he's playing on the second line, and he could put up some pretty big numbers this year. A guy that could be a sleeper in a lot of leagues. Keep an eye on him for sure. I wouldn't say pick him up right away, like right now, but another big game or two, definitely worthy of picking up, as he was a top three pick when he came into the league. He just didn't perform in Phoenix. Keep a close eye on Kyle Turris. Other than that, your typical fantasy guys put up in this game. On Winnipeg's side of things, you have Andre Pavlik. He'll start probably a big chunk of the games for these improving Winnipeg Jets. I don't expect a lot from Winnipeg this year, as they have a hefty schedule still being in the East. They haven't realigned the leagues yet, so Winnipeg could definitely be a team going, not this year, but maybe in the next couple of years to watch out for. So I wouldn't rest your hat as Pavlik as your number one goalie, because I don't think he will be this year. So Andre Pavlik had 33 saves on his 37 of the shots faced, had an .892 save percentage in the loss. Not a great night from him, but he didn't get much help in front of him. On the scoring side of Winnipeg, you had a power play tally from Dustin Byfuglien. Oh yeah, also on Ottawa's side of things, sorry. Erik Karlsson's goal, assisted by Gonchar and Spezza, was on the power play. So that could that should also add to a stat category with all three of those players. Power play points, usually one of your typical ones taken. Byfuglien put up a goal, power play goal, assisted by Enstrom and Andrew Ladd. Three guys that should have went in your leagues. Byfuglien put up a goal, 24 minutes played. Was a minus one. Well, it's expected when you got four goals against. Went six shots on goal. No penalty minutes from Byfuglien, which I guess for his team was good, but in the fantasy world, not so good. You want him to put up some big numbers too in the penalty minute. You're banking on him to get some penalty minutes. The goal he scored is an absolute beaut too. Rocket, top shelf. Nice feed from Enstrom, who chipped in with an assist. Was a minus one. Two shots on goal. These two will be playing together all year. No penalty minutes. Andrew Ladd chipped in with an assist. Was a minus two. Two shots on goal, two penalty minutes, two faceoffs, one. So he chipped in across the board. Another one that was taken, Vander Kane, didn't do anything. No goals, no assists, minus one. Four shots on goal. Not really a typical Vander Kane night. Expect for him to do better going forward. Then your rookie, a rookie to watch out for, a lot of people took, was Mark Scheifele. Didn't do a whole lot. Didn't do anything, actually. Was a minus one. Two shots on goal and 11 minutes ice time. Nice little chunk of ice time for the rookie, but don't expect a whole lot going forward. He could surprise a lot of people, but like I said, with Winnipeg's demanding schedule and a lot of travel, these guys are going to be wore out in this short season, because you're going to need all the rest you can possibly have. And with this intense travel schedule with Winnipeg, these guys are going to be burned out, and I expect them to finish in the bottom three of the Eastern Conference. Also on going ahead with the Saturday game still, we got the Capitals Lightning. Tampa Bay took Washington 6-3. And your starting goalies were Anders Lindback. He should get a chunk of the starts for Tampa Bay. Should be your starter most nights. And Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby's going to see some split time with Nyrvrith. So let's start with Tampa. Anders Lindback got the win, stopped 27 of the 30 shots faced, had a 900 save percentage. Chipping in this game were some surprise guys. You had Eric Brewer with two goals, was a plus one, two shots on goal. Not a guy a lot of people took in leagues. Corey Conacher chipped in with, or had a goal and an assist, was a plus one, two shots on goal. Nice, really nice night from him. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Lightning, their guys that put up weren't, well, there were guys that put up that you expect. So those were the two that were surprise nights, which you will get from time to time. But over the overall picture of things, don't expect a whole lot from these two. Vinny LeCavalier had a nice little start to his season. Had a terrible season last year. Was a great value buy in a lot of drafts. Vinny's been known to put up big numbers, and I know you guys got him late. Unless someone took him based on his name. Which, whatever, if they want to take him early based on a name. If people stuck to draft strategy and predictions, Vinny should have been a late round value buy. He chipped it. So in this game, he chipped in with a goal and an assist, five shots on goal and 17 minutes ice time. Won 18 of his draws, had a huge save percentage. Awesome in the faceoff circle. Expect for him to put up big numbers in that stat all year long. Teddy Purcell playing in a line with LeCavalier, chipped in with three assists. 15 minutes ice time, was a plus one with four shots on goal. Very nicely done by him. Tampa, and also on Tampa, scoring for Tampa was Martin St. Louis, put up a big, big opening day number. Had two goals, one assist, 21 minutes ice time. Both his goals, by the way, were on the power play. Five shots on goal. Nice, nice stat line. Expect one that you expect from Martin St. Louis. A lot of people, he also chipped in with a faceoff win, so... not bad from him. Actually, that's a really good night from Martin St. Louis. Don't expect him to score a lot this year. Expect him to feed the puck to Stamkos all year long, as those two have been an awesome combo over the last couple years. Stamkos chipped in with two assists on Martin St. Louis, on Eric Brewer's one power play goal, and Martin St. Louis' power play goal. So he got power play points along, got power play assists, which are huge, because those are double category stats, I should say. So one assist, two categories, not a bad deal. Tampa, expect them to be a surprise team. They're playing in a weak division against the Caps, Florida, Winnipeg, Carolina. That could be a lot better. That's going to be a lot better division than it was last year. So Tampa could be a surprise team this year. Anders Lindback, who knows what to expect from him. Coming over from Nashville, he never got starting time backing up Pekarinen, so he could be the next Pekarinen. We don't know. We don't know yet. But with the depth he has in front of him, he's a good pickup. You probably got late round value out of him too. So now on to the Washington Capitals. Starting in net was Braden Holtby, 28 saves, 28 stopped 28 of his 34 shots. Saw had an .824 save percentage. Braden Holtby should share time with Nuvarath going forward. Coach Adam Oates has stated that he's going to split goalies and ride the hot hand. So I would expect maybe Nuvarath to start the next game, since Holtby didn't really have a great start to the season. But he might keep with Holtby and might stay with Holtby and allow him to have a nice little bounce back. If Holtby flops in his next game, well, expect Nuvarath to get a couple, maybe. So scoring for your big ones on Washington were Joel Ward and Wojtek Wolski. Not two typical fantasy producers, but Ward chipped in with two. One was a power play marker. One even strength. So I don't know what to think about Joel Ward going forward. I wouldn't expect him to put up huge stats all year long, but you never know, he could surprise. Wojtek Wolski coming over from Colorado. Or was he in Colorado last year? Oh, no, coming over from... he was in Colorado, started his career, went to Phoenix, then was traded to the Rangers, coming over from the Rangers from last year, and then Florida. Oh, he played with Florida last year, majority of it. So coming over from Florida, he's been a journeyman. He went a lot more places than I thought he did. But I wouldn't expect a whole lot from Wojtek Wolski moving forward, if I'm even saying his name right. He chipped in with a goal, had in 14 minutes of ice time, was a plus one, one shot on net, two penalty minutes, so he chipped in across the board. Not too bad. Your guys you want to produce off this team, Ovechkin didn't do anything. Was zero goals, zero assists, 23 minutes ice time. Was a zero in the plus minus, so he didn't hurt you there. Four shots on goal in two penalty minutes. He chipped in a little bit in head-to-head leagues, but not really much in your points leagues. Mike Green, I guess I'll call him the recovering defenseman because he didn't really do much. He's been kind of made out of glass the last few years, so you should have got him really late unless someone drafted him on his name. And like I say, when someone wants to draft on a name, let them, because obviously they're taking him really early when there's a lot better, more value out there. So that just leaves them to come to you. Don't be scared when they do get drafted ahead of you or ahead of where you wanted to take them. Just let them go and pick a better player. Anyway, so Mike Green was a minus one, two shots on net, not really anything from him. Nicholas Backstrom, another one that was hurt a lot last year, didn't really produce the way he should have. Was a minus one with three shots on goal, two penalty minutes, 10 faceoff wins though from him, which was pretty big. Under a 50% faceoff percentage, but he still chipped in with 10. Not really any. John Carlson, the big defender from Washington, chipped in with an assist. Was a plus two with two shots on goal. And Carl Alsner, another defenseman that I've seen taken. Didn't really do much there either. He 0-0, and the goal is 0 points, 0 plus minus, 22 minutes ice time, one shot on goal. Didn't do much. But I would expect Washington to bounce back. They should put up big numbers, especially their big three, in Backstrom, Green, and Ovechkin. Moving on to another. So next game up, we have the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. One of probably the sloppiest game played of the night. I actually watched this game. Really choppy, really sloppy. Not much for offense. Your starting goalies in this were Carey Price, your typical starter in Montreal, and a surprise announcement during the day was Ben Scriven starting this game. Really, really surprised. So we'll start with Toronto stats. Ben Scrivens, well, got the W, stopped 21 of his 22 shots faced, had a 9.55 save percentage. I really don't know what to expect from this young Leaf team, especially Scrivens. Scrivens has never got number one ice time, and he's got Reimer backing him up, another guy that's never had number one ice time. So expect the Leafs to ride the hot hand with these guys. Again, another split goalie situation, as I don't think either of these guys can handle a full season workload. Ben Scrivens especially, like, who the fuck knows what these guys are going to bring to the table. Oh, and sorry, my bad. I should have warned you at the beginning of this podcast that anything goes, and you may hear a slip up of language here and there. I should have warned you pre-podcast in case any of the children out there are listening. I don't want your parents emailing me saying how slanderous and how garbage I am. So just, that's my warning. Going forward in this podcast, you will hear some slip-ups in my language, my redneck coming out of me. So scoring for the Leafs were your Tyler Bozak. He chipped in with a goal, two shots on net. Saw a nice chunk of ice time, 19 minutes. Won 9 faceoffs. Not a bad stat line across the board. From Bozak, chipped in a few aspects. Was a plus. We didn't get anything in the plus minus. Kadri got your other one. Both goals came on the power play. So, again, double cat stat, I guess I should call it. That's my new punch for that, I guess. My new label on that one, the double cat stat. Bozak's was also a double cat stat. Assisting on those goals were Kessel. Kessel assisted on both of them. He chipped in with... I'll go back to Kadri. Kadri stats. So Kadri chipped in with the goal, two shots on net, two penalty minutes, and two faceoffs won. Not bad for a guy that came into the Marlies camp earlier in the year, fat and out of shape. So his coach said. He has really bounced back with the Marlies. He was putting up a point per game when he was during the lockout. And you know what? I don't expect anything from Kadri, but I wouldn't be surprised if this dude put up pretty big numbers for a rookie, for a young player. A lot of people playing in the, under the scrutiny of the Toronto fans, though, it's a tough pressure-packed place to play, but hopefully, I really, really like Nazem Kadri as I watched him play with the Knights in junior hockey, and he's got a I have a soft spot in my heart for him, as they do love to throw him under the bus in Toronto, but let's see how this kid handles the pressure. So, as I said, Phil Kessel chipped in with 2 assists on those power play markers. He saw 17 minutes ice time, 3 shots on goal. I expect Kessel to usually put up 5 to 7 shots on goal a game. He does seem to have the puck on his stick a lot. He typically puts up minus as he doesn't like to play defense, but hey, when you drafted Kessel, you were going for goals and shots, right? You weren't going you knew drafting him, you weren't going to get much of a plus minus. And if you drafted him hoping for a plus minus, you should really rethink your draft strategy. Another surprise one, I loved the way he played, was Mike Koska. This guy has come out of left field. He put up a really nice game. He came from he's been an AHL journeyman his whole career. Yeah, coming from Norfolk last year, or playing for Norfolk, put up 32 points in 52 games. And he really had a nice debut assisting on Kadri's first goal of the game. I don't know what to expect from him going forward, but his stat line was 1 assist, 22 minutes played, 1 shot on goal, 2 penalty minutes. Definitely someone worth keeping your eye on. Should put a little asterisk beside him in your players to watch. Lupo playing with Kessel didn't do much anything. 0-0, 16 minutes of ice time. Didn't do anything in plus minus, had 4 shots on goal. Expect more goals, more points out of Lupo heading forward. It is early in the season, so for me to judge a guy on his first game is kind of tough. Another one chipping in with a power play assist, the double stat cat. Dion Phaneuf, an assist, which was a double stat cat, had 1 shot on net, which, you know, him being on the back end, he's more of a defensive defenseman anyway. A lot of people like to draft him because he does quarterback their power play. And the new addition, James Van Riemsdyk, also another one worth maybe putting an asterisk on because he is playing with Kadri this year. It's got 13 minutes ice time. These guys were limited but made use of their ice time that they had. Saw 1 shot on goal, 2 penalty minutes. Van Riemsdyk was a guy a couple years ago I drafted thinking, you know, playing with the Flyers and the depth he had around him. He came over in a trade in the offseason, by the way, for Luke Shen. Just thought I'd clear that up. Anyway, so Van Riemsdyk a couple years ago playing on a deep Flyers team. I expect him to do big things, but then got hurt. He's been hurt. Been kind of glass since he came in, so hasn't really done much. Getting an opportunity with these Leafs, playing alongside another guy that has something to prove in Kadri. If these guys start to see a lot of ice time, definitely could put up big, big numbers. Could. Not saying will. Definitely just someone to keep your eye on. So he had 2 shots on goal, 2 penalty minutes. Won a face-off, playing wing with Kadri, playing a wing on Kadri's line along with Kadri. Let's just say, put an asterisk on these two and we'll come back to them later. We'll check in later on in the season how these two are doing. For your habitant, Carey Price had a pretty good game. Stopped 24 of his 26 shots faced. Had a .923 save percentage in the loss. Really, these guys I really think are missing PK Subban. They still haven't resolved the contract issue with him. I don't really get into contracts or lockouts or any of that bullshit on this show, just so you know. So don't expect me to expand upon it. All I want to do is just bring you stat cats, like stat categories and how players are doing fantasy-wise, not all the off-rank bullshit. I don't really care much about it, so I only like to see the game that's being played on the ice. Nothing in the... What happens off the ice stays off the ice. What happens on the ice comes into my podcast, let's just say. But anyways, they still haven't resolved the contract with him, which I really think they missed. Your captain, Brian Gianna, put up a goal, 17 minutes ice time, shot on goal. Not really a great night from any of the Habs. Like I said, it was a really sloppy game played. Plekanec popped in an assist on that goal. It also was a power play marker, so double stat cats from both these guys. Where was I? Okay, yeah, so Plekanec, double stat cat with his assists. It's 19 minutes ice time, which was nice for him. Was a plus two, or not a plus two, sorry. No one was plus minus in this game. All goals were scored on the power play. He had two shots on goal, two penalty minutes, and 13 faceoffs won. Great faceoff percentage. Won over 50% of his draws. Had a nice night. For a bad night, it was a nice one for Plekanec. Let's just say that. That's what I'll stick to that one and keep with it. Another guy that was drafted in a lot of leagues was Eric Cole. Didn't do anything. Shot on goal, two penalty minutes, a faceoff one. Expect him maybe to put up a little better numbers going forward. And seeing a lot of ice time with PK out would be Caberle and Markov. They were the defensive pairing. Neither of them did anything. Markov had a miserable game. 24 minutes of ice time. Didn't put up a stat across the board. Didn't even get a shot on net. But he's bouncing back from an injury last year. Should put up numbers going forward, especially getting a lot of power play time on this team. The Canadians are either going to be a team that scores a ton in a game, or they're not going to score anything. They're going to be banking on Carey Price to carry them to the playoffs, which, I don't know. I can't see it. But they are young, they are fast, and if they start getting some bounces and get PK back, you never know with these guys. Oh, a rookie to watch out for from Montreal, Alex Galchenyuk, played in his first NHL game, didn't put up any numbers, put two shots on goal, but by watching this game, he was the best Canadian. So watch for him going forward, maybe could be a rookie sleeper, especially in a league where you had to draft a rookie. A keeper league, definitely worth taking deep in a keeper league. Put him on your bench. If anything, he's got 5 games to prove himself. Either that or he's going back to junior. So after the 5-game mark, you'll know more about Galchenyuk. But if you have a keeper league, definitely one worth looking at. Taking him, sitting him on your bench and keeping him for next year, because he will get, in the next few years, get big, big ice time and be a big producer on these Canadians. So that's that for that game. Not much to talk about in that one. Next up, we got your New Jersey Devils against your New York Islanders. It was a 2-1 Devils victory. Kind of a snooze fest. Surprising, the Islanders kept them to only 2 goals. The Islanders aren't really much of a defensive team, but... Sorry. Anyways, going forward, your starting goalies in this one were Evgeny Nabokov starting for the Islanders, and Martin Brodeur starting for your Devils. Father Time, best goalie of all time, just saying. I'll start in New Jersey. Brodeur stopped 18 of his 19 shots faced in the W, had a 9.47 save percentage. Pretty good stat cats from Brodeur. I'd expect, they are a defensive team, so expect him to keep the shots low. As for his workload in this shortened season, he's usually good at handling a large workload, but with his age and how condensed the games are, could be one maybe worth looking at Johan Hedberg if you do have Brodeur to handcuff to. Because they haven't announced how they are going to handle their goalie situation. It's one worth looking at going forward. But Brodeur is definitely one that if he gets hot, he could be the hottest goalie in the league. Putting up points in this game, scoring for the Devils were David Clarkson, had a goal, 17 minutes ice time, plus one, 5 shots on goal. He was a 30-goal scorer from last year. He didn't put up much for penalty minutes, which you expect from him. Won a face-off. Not really something you expect from him, as he is a winger. His goal was an even strength goal, so no double stat cat for him. Your other goal scorer was Travis Zajac, who just signed a huge contract earlier in the week. So he had something to prove in this game, scored a goal, chipped in with, was a plus one, 2 shots on goal, won 8 faceoffs, won over 50% of his faceoffs. Not a bad little stat line from him. Kovey coming back from Russia. I don't know how motivated Kovey could be this year, as he didn't really seem like he wanted to come back, but who knows how much of it got lost in translation. Ilya Kovchuk chipped in with an assist, 24 minutes ice time, which is a huge load for a forward, but he saw a lot of power play time. Was a plus one, 5 shots on goal, and even chipped in with two pims. which we always like to see on the Sin Bin podcast. I'm a big advocate of penalty minutes. I enjoy watching them, especially the big fighters. Patrick Elias, another one taken in a lot of drafts, chipped in with an assist. Saw 17 minutes ice time, was a plus one with one shot on goal, two pims, one face off, one. Didn't have a really good night in the draw, as he was 1 for 6 in the draw. Not a very good night at all. Other than that, none of your fantasy hopefuls from New Jersey really put up much. So now on to the Islanders. The Islanders in this game, your Tendy, Evgeny Nabokov, who could see some split time with DiPietro. We're not really sure how they're going to handle this goaltending situation going forward either. Saw save 26 to 28 shots, had a 929 save percentage in the loss. Evgeny would be a goalie you probably could pick up off the waiver wire, or was one you got in the late rounds. This Islander team's an improving team. They're really young, trying to build going forward, trying to win some games. So Evgeny could be one of your most valuable goalie picks in the draft, or if you got him off waiver wire, he could be a steal, as this team could be a team to surprise some in this shortened schedule. Scoring for the Islanders was Travis Hamonic. Really not really one worth looking at going forward. He put up a goal, was a minus one with 4 shots on net. Nothing really to expect from him. Grabner had an assist in this one. Oh, and it was a double stat cap for him too, as it was a power play marker he put up for Hominick. Hominick, I guess his name is. I don't know how to pronounce it, but anyway, we'll go with Hominick. Michael Grabner also had a double stat cap with an assist. 19 minutes ice time, was a 0 plus minus. 3 shots on goal. Not a bad little line from him for a low scoring game. Kyle Okposo could put up big numbers playing along Johnny T this year, but he was also had a double stat cap with his assist. Was a minus one and really didn't do much the rest of the night. Johnny T, the big heavy hitter from the aisle, one that went high in a lot of drafts, probably a first rounder in most of your drafts, early second rounder if you stole him then. But I expect big numbers from Johnny T this year, improving upon every season he's had. He's put around 30 every year, put up 31 last year, 29 the year before. He's probably going to be your prototypical 30 to 40 goal scorer the rest of his career. Could be the next Steve Stamkos. He could even put up 61 year in his career. But for this year, expect him to be the leading scorer of this team and possibly one of the top goal scorers in the NHL. He had 25 minutes of ice time, was a minus one, 1 shot on goal. Not really a great night from him, but he did win 12 of his nine face-offs. So that's a pretty, at least he chipped in the face-off circle. Other than that, not a lot to talk about in this low-scoring affair. Mark Streit, one of the defensemen probably taken in this, in most drafts, was a minus two, 1 shot on net, chipped in with 2 pims. He's quarterback in the power play, so expect him to put up a lot of double stat cats this year. He's got a big booming shot from the point, and with Okposo and Tavares up front with Matt Molson. Oh, Matt Molson, also another one taken in a lot of drafts, but expect these three to put up a lot in double stat cats if they can get their power play rolling, as they will see a lot of power play time. Matt Molson, another mentionable. He was a minus one with 1 shot on net. Not really much of a night, but none of the Islanders really had much of a night, so don't hang your hat on this one, as the front five for those guys should put up numbers all year long. Now on to my surprise. Well, not my surprise of the night. My surprise of the night's the next one. Now on to another Southeast Division, a rivalry game, I should say. With the Florida Panthers at home, beat Carolina 5-1. Starting goalies in this one were Jose Theodore and Cam Ward. I'll start with Florida's stats. Jose Theodore stopped 41 of his 42 shots faced. Had a 9.76 save percentage in the win. Big night from Brian Campbell. Chipped in with a double stat cat night. Two double stat cats and 2 power play goals. was a plus one and 25 minutes ice time, two shots on goal. Didn't get any PIMs, but Brian Campbell, not really much of an aggressor on the back end. He's more of a power play specialist, nice puck mover. Him to chip in with two power play goals is huge to start the year for anyone that drafted him. Jonathan Huberdeau, the highly touted rookie. A lot of people pick him to win Rookie of the Year, and to start off on his Rookie of the Year bid, he had a great start to the season. He had a goal and two assists. Was a plus two with five shots on goal, and even chipped in with two penalty minutes and two faceoffs won. A guy I took in a lot of my drafts. I expect big things from him as he is getting top line minutes. He's on the top six for Florida, a team that has a lot of big weapons, could score a lot, really young. And he's got great chemistry with his new winger, Alexei Kovalev. He was a surprise signing earlier in the week with Florida. He put up a goal and two assists. Also some double stat cats from Kovalev, as he chipped in with an assist on one of Huberdeau's, an assist on Brian Campbell's, and then scored. He put up a double stat cat with one of his assists on one of Brian Campbell's power play goals. Playing along with Huberdeau, I expect big things from Huberdeau. So by association, the slick-moving, sometimes lazy Alexei Kovalev could help guide this young rookie through the shortened NHL season. So Kovalev put up a goal, two assists, was a plus two, three shots on goal, two penalty minutes. Pretty good night from that winger. And another notable playing on that line was Scotty Upshaw. These guys just have seemed to click so far in the season, or the first night anyway. Put up a goal, had three shots on net. Other than that, not really much to look at from Florida. Fleischman didn't do much, anything, had an assist. Oh yeah, Fleischman assisted on Scotty Upshaw's was a double stat cat power play marker. Fleischman also had a double stat cat and with a power play assist. But going forward, expect a lot more scoring expect Florida to be a sustainable fantasy hockey, hold sustainable fantasy hockey value all year long, as they do have some heavy hitters. On to the Carolina Hurricanes. Cam Ward got the loss, stopped 8 of his 12 shots faced with a 667 save percentage, was yanked after the first period, and in favor for Dan Ellis. Don't expect this to be a typical thing for Cam Ward. He did have an awful year last year. The whole team had an awful year, but I expect these guys to have a bounce back year, and Cam Ward should be the anchor for that bounce back year. They did bring in Dan Ellis to shore up the goaltending duties and provide a nice little pressure relief for Cam Ward on his off nights. But I still expect Cam Ward to handle a bulk of the goaltending for Carolina. Dan Ellis came in, stopped 12 of his 13 shots faced for a .923 save percentage. He might be a nice handcuff to anyone that's got Cam Ward. But again, who knows with these guys, because they did have a bad year. I expect them to bounce back, but you never know. So none of the big names put up anything really in this game. Eric Staal, you're probably your top Carolina Hurricane taken. Didn't put up anything in the points column. It was a plus one, which is pretty good in a game where you have five goals against. Three shots on goal, no penalty minutes. 118, 8 of his 13 draws. Jordan Staal was a minus two in 17 minutes of ice time. Two shots on goal, 1-8 of his 1-8 1-8 of his draws, one over 50%. Eric Staal won under 50%. Sorry, well, he didn't go 8. Eric Staal didn't go 8 for 13. He was under 50% with 8 of his face-off wins. UC Jokinen, not really much to write home about here either. He three shots on goal, 9 face-off wins. Great face-off percentage, as he did win 75% of his draws. Really, I expect these guys to put up a lot more scoring going forward. Jeff Skinner was another one that should have a bounce back year from last year. Put up 50 points, 20 goals last year, but when you had the rookie campaign he had 2 years ago, you expect more things out of him. So expect him to bounce back from his sophomore campaign. But he did have a bad night on the opening night. He was a minus two with four shots on net, two penalty minutes. Really didn't do much anywhere else. He's playing wing this year. Didn't get any time in the faceoff circle. But expect a lot more going forward from the Carolina Hurricanes. Now on to my surprise of the night. The Columbus Blue Jackets defeating the Nashville Predators in a shootout, 3-2. Your starting goalies here were obviously the workhorse Pekarinen and Sergei Bobrovsky, brought over from, I believe he played for Philly last, brought over from Philly in an off-season signing. Yeah, brought over from Philly. I guess we'll start with Carolina or Columbus in this one. My bad. We'll start with Columbus in this one. Bobrovsky stopped 32 of his 34 shots saved, a .941 save percentage. I don't expect a lot from Columbus. I expect them to finish last in the league. They shouldn't hold much fantasy value. They are going to score, so someone's got to score for them. Bobrovsky's going to see a lot of shots. His save percentage should dip, and he's probably not going to get a lot of wins. But he should be loaded with shots this year. Your fantasy relevance, it's slim pickings on this team. Jack Johnson, Nick Foligno would be two that I'd look at. Nick Foligno chipped in with a goal in this one. It was a power play marker, so a double stat cap for Foligno. Outside of that, Jack Johnson didn't do much. Fedor Tuten had two assists, and it was a double stat cat night for him. Vinny Prospel chipped in on Foligno's goal, power play marker too. Really, I don't expect a lot from Columbus, so if you are needing some free agent pickups or someone to sum up a guy an injury, have a look at Columbus, who's doing hot for them. I would just play the hot hand, because I expect their scoring should come very in small bunches. Like, they're not going to win, blow teams out of the water. They're going to squeak by with shootout wins, 2-1 victories, 4-3 victories, maybe. Four goals in a game is pretty a lot, but these guys aren't going to be a high-scoring team, so really, unless you need some help on your back end, Dubinsky would be one to watch the rest of the year. Jack Johnson could be a defensive flyer. Nick Foligno, he's had some pretty good campaigns in Ottawa coming over in the offseason. He could be one to watch out for, but don't expect much from these guys. Sorry, Columbus, but I'm kind of leaving you shortchanged here. I'm running short on time. Well, not running short on time. I'm just trying to jam-pack all these games in. Now, on Nashville, Ryan Ellis, the stud for that used to be a stud for the Windsor Spitfires, finally getting a shot with Nashville. Got a little bit of a shot last year. He split time between the AHL with Milwaukee and Nashville last year. Ryan Ellis should get a lot of power play time now that Ryan Suter's out. Should be on the paired in the back end with the big shot of Shea Weber. Nashville is definitely one looking at. Sorry, my bad. I'm getting a little lost here. Pekarinen, stopped 26 of his 28 shots at a .929 save percentage in the shootout loss. Pekarinen should be an absolute stud. Should start 40 of the 48 games for them, around 40 mark. He will be a guy that Nashville, if they're going to make playoffs, they're going to rest their game. They're going to rest their season on Pekarinen's shoulders. And this stud should be able to handle it. He should have no problems. He was the best fantasy goalie last year in most leagues, points leagues especially, as he did see so many shots, had 43 wins. So Pekarinen, an absolute stud, should have been one of the top three goalies taken in your league. So now back to Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis scored a goal. Ryan Ellis' goal was a double stat cat, as he did score it on the power play. While playing alongside Shea Weber this year, he could put up big numbers. We'll have to wait and see. Your top one that would have been taken in drafts. Oh, sorry. Martin Erod also chipped in with a goal. It was an even strength marker. He was a plus one with a shot on goal, two penalty minutes, two faceoffs, one. Not a bad little line for Martin Erat. Should be able to pick him up off the waiver wire or drafted him late in leagues. Could be one worth taking. Should be one worth taking, actually. I would take a flyer on Martin Erat if you're needing some help, injury help. Sergei Kostitsyn chipped in with 2 assists, one of them being a double stat cat. He was a plus one. He had no shots on goal, which you should expect more from Sergei. Should start ripping him out the net. No penalty minutes. He likes to chip in with penalty minutes once in a while, as he is a gritty little player. Shea Weber should have been the top guy taken in from Nashville in most drafts. Was plus one in 25 minutes ice time. 6 shots on goal. Had 7 penalty minutes. He actually had a nice little scrap tilly with Jared Bull in this one. But you kind of want Weber. Nashville will kind of want Weber out there. But he does like to fight. Does like to put up the penalty minutes. So he should be a value going forward. And definitely a stud on the back end. Patrick Hornquist chipped in with an assist as well. He could be a nice little waiver pickup going forward because the scoring's got to come somewhere in Nashville. They're gonna score. They're gonna see Columbus 4 to 5 times this year. They're gonna see the Red Wings, which you'll see in the next couple games that they didn't do so well on this night. So they're gonna see the Red Wings, which missing like Nick Lindstrom could allow a lot of goals. But they also are gonna see the Blues, but these guys should put up some goals this year, and the scoring will be spread out. But watch for Erat, Kostitsyn, and Hornquist. I'd keep an eye on these guys. Other than that, I'll move on to the next game. That sums up that game. So next up, we got the Dallas Stars defeating the Phoenix Coyotes. Father Time decided to make a little stop at this one, as Jaromir Jagr looked like had shades of 92 in this game. He looked like he did back with the Penguins. Jaromir Jagr was your stud in this game. But I guess I should stick with my structure and go with the starting goalies. So your starting goalies in this game were Kari Lehtinen for the Stars. Mike Smith should have probably been a top 10 goalie taken in most leagues. I'll start with Dallas's stats. Kari Lehtinen saved 37 of 40 shots he faced at a .925 save percentage. He's going to see a lot of shots this year. So Jagr had a huge, huge debut for the Dallas Stars, scoring 2 goals, 2 assists, plus one, 3 shots on goal. Both Jagr's goals being an even strength. He chipped in with a double stat cat assist. On a power play, he had a power play assist, which gave him double stat cats. I guess technically all stats are double stat cats, with an even strength goal being a plus as well. So I guess I shouldn't confuse my listeners and should explain that now. Maybe double stat cat's a bad way to go about it. But anyways, Jagr had 2 goals this game, chipped in with a couple assists as well, one being on the power play. Louis Erickson also had a goal and an assist for Dallas. Oh, Jagr was a plus one with 3 shots on goal as well. Louis Erickson chipped in with a goal and an assist in this one. His goal coming even strength. He didn't put up any power play points. So he assisted on Jagr's first goal of the game as well. Louis Erickson's another stud from Dallas. He should have been a mid-round winger taken. He's got, I think he's dual position in most leagues. He should be left wing, right wing. He put up a goal and assist, 17 minutes ice time, a plus one, 3 shots on goal, no penalty minutes. Another, Stefan Robitaille on the back end, put up some nice numbers. 2 assists, was a plus two, with both of his assists coming on the power play. So he had a nice little night. Something really valuable on the back end. You could have got him really deep. He's probably available as a free agent in most of your leagues. Deep leagues, he should have been drafted. But look, keep an eye on him, especially if he gets power play time. The Dallas Stars team, they haven't signed Jamie Benn yet either. Once they get him back, watch the fuck out. Because if they can put up goals without him, without their man, their anchor on power plays and their goal-scoring anchor, they will be flying when they come back. When he comes back. So definitely definitely a team that could surprise a lot of people and score a lot this year. Give Kari Lehtinen some help on the back end into net. They're not playing in that strong a division either. It's kind of up for the table. Well, I guess they got to see San Jose, Anaheim, LA. Not a really someone I want to see every game, but you get to see Phoenix as well, and Phoenix is another team. Who knows what the hell fuck they're going to do. Anyways, so these guys could put up goals in bunches. Keep an eye on these Dallas Stars. I'll keep an eye out with you, I guess, through this. But Ray Whitney, coming over from Phoenix. This is what I mean. Father Time, your two oldest players on the team had 6 points between the two of them. So Ray Whitney had a power play tally, put up a power play goal, and also assisted on Jágr's power play goal. So he had two power play points. Only two shots on goal, didn't put up any. Don't expect many penalty minutes out of him. Expect a better plus from him, especially when Jamie Benn gets backed. Just keep an eye on these guys. We'll go. The Dallas Stars could be a surprise team this year. Mike Smith. Okay, now on to Phoenix. Mike Smith stopped 22 of his 26 shots faced, had an 846 save percentage. Could be an absolute stud. He's going to see a lot of shots, going to have a heavy workload put on him. He could see a lot. Oh, he should see a lot. He's seen a lot last year. So in a points league, definitely one worth taking, definitely one worth starting most of the time, as he is going to handle a lot of the workload. He should see 40 of the starts, I suppose. Bad night, opening night, but hey, bounce back's coming. So, not really much to talk about with your fantasy studs up this team. We don't really know what to go. Oh, well, Radim Verbata put up two goals, had an assist. One was on the power play. One goal was on the power play. The other assist was on a power play. So he put up two power play points as well. He was a minus one, being on the ice for three goals, which isn't good when you put in 3 points. But hey, when two of them are on the power play, that happens. So he had four shots on goal as well, two penalty minutes, a face-off one, chipped in across the board. A lot of people took Shane Doan coming off his big four-year contract he signed with these guys. The captain Shane Doan, three shots on goal, two penalty minutes. Didn't really chip in with much. Phoenix is another team I don't really know what to expect from them. You got your studs. Like, Rubata had a great year last year, but that was his first great year. I really don't know what. Keith Yandel's a stud on defense. He's one that should be played every week. He had an assist. Which was on the power play, on one of Verbata's power play goal. Keith Yandel's an absolute stud. He'll eat up a lot of ice time. He also chipped in with four shots on goal. Should see a lot of power play action as he quarterbacks their power play. But other than that, these two teams are teams that the Dallas Stars are loaded with a lot of talent, but it's old talent. So if age prevails, I guess, then they should put up a lot of numbers. And the Coyotes really are they're Jekyll and Hyde kind of deal. Like, they could either be the best team in that division, or they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL. Way she goes. Their season rests on Mike Smith's shoulders. On the next game, not a very good one for the Detroit Red Wings. After losing Nick Lindstrom to retirement and Thomas Holmstrom to retirement in the offseason, they got blown out by the St. Louis Blues, which St. Louis, a heavy pick to win the cup this year, should put up huge numbers across the board. Your starting goalies for this game were Jamie Howard and Yaroslav Halak. We'll start in St. Louis. Halak stopped 14 of 14 shots faced, 1,000 save percentage, obviously, in the win with the shutout. And scoring was spread across the board here. Your big guns in Backes, he had an assist. Backes had a shorthanded assist on TJ Oshie's shorthanded goal, which is a double stat cat in most leagues. Well, a lot of leagues don't take shorthanded points, but I like the ones that do, because you should be rewarded, because it is one of the hardest times to score. So Backes put up a shorthanded assist, was a plus one with two shots on goal. Patrick Berglund scored a goal, which came on a power play marker. Zero plus minus, had a shot on goal, five face-off wins. Oh, David Backes also had eight face-off wins. Ian Cole, an assist, plus one, shot on goal. Andy McDonald even chipped in. They scored all across all three lines this game. Andy McDonald chipped in with an assist, plus one, three shots on goal. TJ Oshie had a goal, two assists, was a plus one with four shots on goal. TJ Oshie chipped in with a shorthanded goal, had two assists on the power play. David Perron didn't do much. Didn't do anything, actually. Had six penalty minutes, which is a nice little help, but didn't do anything in any other category. Petrangelo, big defenseman to watch out for. Should log big minutes, should quarterback their power play. He had two assists, which were of the shorthanded variety and the power play variety on Berglund and Oshie's goals. Shattenkirk chipped in with two assists, which were... I'll go back to Petrangelo. Petrangelo also was a plus two with one shot on goal. Didn't see the sin bin at all, but expect him to put up some penalty minutes. But he should have it. That big shot should come in valuable on the power play. Should put up a lot of power play points. Shattenkirk chipped in with two assists. Was zero in the plus minus rating and two shots on goal. Although both of his assists came on power play goals. And now my favorite. Oh, Chris Stewart also chipped in with two goals. 15 minutes ice time. Was a zero in the plus minus department because both of his goals came on the power play as well. He's going to see some power play time on that second unit. He had five shots on goal and two penalty minutes. Not a bad stat line from Chris Stewart. And the super rookie sensation from opening night, Vladimir Tarasenko, scored two absolutely gorgeous goals. This guy's hands and speed are unbelievable. Definitely one that if he was not taken in your league, go out right now and take him. Go find him on the waiver wire, take him, especially in a keeper league. The guy's 22, 21 years old, a nice rookie Russian, should challenge for rookie of the year. He is an absolute stud. It was a plus one with five shots on goal. One goal was a power play marker. The first one was an even strength marker. But looks like he's got a bright future in St. Louis. And on to the Red Wings. Not much to talk about here. I don't really want to get into their plus minor. Like, they were all minuses, any of them. Johan Franzen chipped in with 10 penalty minutes. Other than that, not really much to talk about. Jimmy Howard stopped 23 of his 28 shots before being pulled early in the third period. He had an .821 save percentage. He was replaced by Jonas Gustafsson that had stopped 7 of his 8 shots face, had an .875 save percentage playing most of the third period. Expect a turnaround from the Wings, especially your studs like Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Franzen, Felpula. Your typical studs. Damian Bruner is another one to watch out for as he is getting number one minutes. He was a leading scorer over in the Swiss and Swedish leagues. Definitely over in Europe. Definitely one to keep an eye on. He could challenge for Rookie of the Year as well. Didn't have a very good first game, but he also wasn't on for any goals. So watch out for the Red Wings going forward. They should bounce back nicely. Should hold some valuable in a lot of leagues. Now on to, so other than say with that, about that game, St. Louis, scoring is going to be spread out, but these guys could put up a lot of goals this year as they are very deep. Halak and Elliott should see split time in the shortened season because they were both studs last year. Elliott had 9 shutouts. That's insane. They both put up over 20 wins. They're going to get split time. If you can get them in the draft, handcuff them both. Because if one's not starting, the other one is, and St. Louis should go on an absolute tear this year. My pick to see in the West, my pick out of the West for the Stanley Cup Final is St. Louis. So you got to do well in the regular season to get to the playoffs, and they should win the President's Trophy and just steamroll through the playoffs as well, as this team is as deep as any in the league. So next up was a late one in Minnesota. Minnesota defeating Colorado 4-2. Starting goalies here. were Semyon Varlamov for Colorado and Nicklas Backstrom for Minnesota. I'll start off with Minnesota. Backstrom stopped 25 of 27 of his shots face, 926 save percentage. Pretty good night on him. He should see a lot of split time too with Josh Harding. They're probably going to ride the hot hand in Minnesota for most nights, as they did last year, and both are suspect to injury, so one goes down. It's a nice little handcuff to have. Harding, you can probably pick up off waivers. If he was drafted, I don't know where he would have been drafted really late. So definitely, if you have Backstrom, go out, get Josh Harding, handcuff him, keep those two, and then keep an eye on who's starting that night. Pierre-Marc Bouchard chipped in with a tally. It was a even strength goal. He was a plus one, four shots on net, no penalty minutes, not expected from him, from the winger. Kyle Brodziak, not really one. I don't really know what to expect from him. Plus one. 11 face-off wins, which was really nice. Who else? Oh, Danny Heatley found his scoring mojo earlier in the season. Score popped in two, both on the power play. Great chemistry. He's got great chemistry on that power play with Parise and Mikko Koivu. That line should be an absolute tear this year. As Mikko Koivu chipped in on with two power play assists, was minus one, three shots on net. Danny Heatley was a minus one as well with five shots on net because both tallies were on the power play. Koivu won 11 of his 10 of his 21 face-offs, over 50% face-off percentage. Zach Parise coming over from Jersey and one of the big signings in the offseason for these guys, was a minus one but had two power play assists, eight shots on net, won a face-off. Or lost a face-off, I guess. He won't get much draw time as he is playing wing on with Koivu and Heatley. Setoguchi's another one to watch out for. He had a decent year last year. Put up an assist in this game with a shot on goal. His assist was on a regular strength to the rookie stud. I'll get to him in a sec. Ryan Sutter was another big signing on the back end. Should quarterback a lot of these guys, a lot of Minnesota's power plays as well. Was a minus one with one shot on net and two penalty minutes. Not your typical Sutter night, but expect for a bounce back heading forward in the season. And one that a lot of people didn't take a lot of bites on was Michael Granlund, another rookie that could put up big numbers. He put up numbers playing in the Finnish league, where it's hard to come by scoring. Well, so I guess scoring in bunches over there. But anyway, Michael Granlund, one worth watching. He put up a nice little tally in this one, nice little tip goal. Michael Granlund had a goal, was zero plus minus, two shots on goal, six face-off wins. Nice little second line center for him playing with Setoguchi. Those two could develop some chemistry and put up big numbers this year. Now on Colorado's side, Semyon Varlamov stopped 31 of 35 shots face for an 8.86 save percentage in the loss. Colorado's scoring, another team that's really young. You don't know what to expect from these guys. A couple free agent additions in the offseason, but again, I don't really like your studs should be Duchesne, the center Duchesne, Gabriel Landeskog, the youngest captain in the NHL right now. PA Parentau playing on that line as well, coming over from the aisle. Paul Stastny's going to get second line minutes with Downey. Really, I don't know what to expect. Duchesne should have a bounce back year playing with Landeskog and PA Parentau, but they do play in a weaker division. But it's just something you got to watch out for. The guys I would be keeping an eye on are obviously Duchesne. Eric Johnson could do something this year, but in this game, none of your studs really did much anything. John Mitchell scored, Corey McLeod scored. Not really guys you're expecting your scoring to come from. Parentau didn't do much. Had a shot on goal, that's about it. Stastny was nice in the face-off circle, but I was a minus two with a shot on goal. Steve Downey, nice little line from him. He an assist, which was they didn't do anything on the power play, so yeah, his assist was regular even strength. Steve Downey also was a plus one with one shot on goal, six penalty minutes, and won his only face-off he took for the night. He should put up nice stats in the penalty minute department. And you never know with this young team; it's anyone's guess for these guys. They could score in bunches, but I don't expect much from Colorado. I expect them to be in the bottom. I expect them to be in the bottom of the West. But bigger surprises have happened. And on to the last game of the evening. This was not really what Vancouver expected coming out of the gate after signing Corey Schneider to a long-term deal. And with all the goalie controversy going on between Lou and Schneider, Schneider got the start here. Jonas Hiller got the start for the Ducks. So I guess I'll start with Anaheim, since they did put up bigger numbers. Jonas Hiller stopped 26 of 29 shots faced for an 8.97 save percentage in the win. Your Father Time also came out in this game, along with the Dallas game, as Timi Solani chipped in for 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, had a shot, or was a plus one with 5 shots on net, 4 penalty minutes, 4 faceoffs won. The old man did it. He probably got to steal him in a lot of leagues. He's 42 years old. The tight schedule could be tough on him, but he did come out firing early. Put up a power play point or power play goal. Both of his assists came on the power play. Definitely one worth watching. Another one's worth watching in this game where Ryan Getzlaff, who put up two assists, two shots on net, no penalty minutes, won 7 faceoffs, won over 50% of his draws. Saku Koivu had 2 assists on Solani's goals, I believe. He had 2 assists as well. David Winnick, surprise here, put up 2 goals. 2 goals plus 2, 3 shots on net. To tell you the truth, playing alongside Koivu and Solani could be well for this. Could prove to be a good line for these guys. Sheldon Surre, another guy that you could have absolutely stole on the back end. Going to see a lot of power play time with these guys. With the Ducks, put in a goal, an assist, was a plus one with 1 shot on net, made a shot count. Bobby Ryan didn't do anything, just a plus one. Expect bigger numbers from him. Corey Perry scored a goal, was a power play marker, had 3 shots on net. Expect big penalty minutes and goals from Perry, as he's done his whole career. On the back end, Beauchemin and Surre would be two guys to definitely watch going forward. Surre, I think Surre could be the absolute steal from this team. David Winnick was a surprise, but I don't know what to think about him going forward. You know, he did see his... he scored both his goals, even strength was nice. Andrew Cogliano actually finally put up some stats, but another one, first-round pick from the Oil, came over from the Oil in the... in a trade. He was 2 assists plus 2, 1 shot on goal. This game was kind of weird. I don't expect Anaheim to score this much, and I expect their scoring to come mostly from the Getzlaff, Perry, Bobby Ryan line. The second line should add some nice additional scoring, but not anything that will be out of the ordinary. Surre is definitely one if he's available in your free agency. And you're looking for a defenseman, go out, take him, because he's going to be quarterbacking a lot of the power play time for these guys. They could be a bounce back team, but they are playing in a really tough division. Hiller's going to see his workload, he's going to see most of the workload there. Going to see a lot of shots. The wins, I don't expect the wins to come huge for Hiller, but you never know. On Vancouver's side, Schneider was pulled midway through the second in replace for Lou. Schneider stopped 9 of his 14 shots face for a 6.43 save percentage. A really bad, because I know Schneider was a top pick. He was one of the top goalies taken in a lot of drafts. A lot is expected from him. But while Lou's there, expect them to split a lot of time. I don't expect them to ride Schneider all year. Lou could get a lot of trade talk out there for Lou. But I expect them, the beginning of the season, to ride both of them. Advertise Lou a little bit. Get him in some games. Hopefully he plays well, and then ship him off. And then Schneider should get a ton of the workload. In this game, your Your scoring came from some of your big hitters on the back end. You got Edler chipped in with a goal, an assist, was minus one, two shots on goal, and two penalty minutes. Edler's goal came on the power play. His assist also came on the power play. So that's a nice little stat line for Edler. Dan Hamhuis put up a goal, was a minus one, had a shot on goal. His goal also came on, or his goal came even strength. With seven goals, there's a lot of minuses in this game, so expect these guys to put up a lot more in the plus-minus categories. Henrik Sedin, your two studs, the Twins. Sedin and Henrik and Daniel both put up numbers. Henrik had an assist, was a minus one, won 50% of his draws, won 14 of them, which was huge. Daniel had a goal and an assist. Both his points coming on the power play, and Henrik's assist came on the power play as well. So these guys, obviously, they're your year-in, year-out studs, put up a lot of power play points. Expect Vancouver to turn it around, but they are injured in the with their second line with Booth and Kessler being out. Once those two come back, I expect Vancouver to win that division. They get to beat up on Calgary, Edmonton, Minnesota all year, Colorado. So don't expect this to be a typical game from Vancouver. The goaltending situation is one to keep an eye out on all year long. If you got Lou, hold on to him because he's going to get his fair share of starts. Schneider's going to get his fair share. Lou could probably get shipped out of town if he plays well. Hopefully Schneider should have a bounce back because he is a stud. Has never ever logged first goaltender minutes, so number one goalie minutes. Never ever done that. So Schneider, you don't know what to expect from him. You expect big numbers because of the team he has in front of him, but he's never handled a workload as big as the one he's expected to handle this year. Just something to keep an eye on. So that wraps it up for Saturday's opening games. The opening to the NHL, to the 2013, I guess, pretty much NHL season. It was 2012-2013, but now it's all 2013 since we started so late. That wraps up my podcast for opening day. I hope you really enjoyed what you just listened to. I hope that I can provide fantasy analysis and fantasy help the rest of the season from here on out. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at ThePodStaff. And if you want to email, I would love to have a mailbag going so I can answer any fantasy questions over this that you may have, any advice you want me to give throughout the year. I hope I can provide it for you. You can email me at ThePodStaff@gmail.com. And I hope you enjoyed my podcast. I am the Pod Staff, and I'm out. Do 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 do